Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Life Coach Radio Network. My name is Filomena Iorio-Tashuluk and I am one of your co-hosts for this evening. I'm joined by two of my colleagues, Veronica Taylor and Connie Rogers. Tonight we're going to be discussing how resilience can help you achieve sustainable success. So why don't we start with you, Veronica? How are you?
I'm doing well, Filomena. How are you?
I'm well. It's been snowing out all day, so we've been inside, but we've been cozy and warm in here, so it's been great. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, your coaching practice, and how listeners can get in touch with you?
Yes, absolutely. Again, my name is Veronica Taylor, and I am a life and leadership coach and founder of Life Leaders Coaching. And I work with women in their 20s and 30s who are tired of living their lives for others and without a sense of purpose or direction. And I've designed a three-step coaching process called Discover, Grow, and Sustain, which helps them explore ways of building and implementing new belief systems and techniques so that they can live and design their best life around leadership in their professional lives as well as in their personal lives. And people can look me up at my website, which is lifeleaderscoaching.com. They may email me at info@lifeleaderscoaching.com, and they could also call me directly at 415-967-1606. And I'm really delighted to be here with you and Connie today.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Veronica. Hi, Connie. How are you?
Hi. How are you?
I'm well. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, your coaching practice, and how our listeners can get in touch with you?
Okay, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm Connie Rogers. I'm a certified health coach, lifestyle educator, skin health expert, mother of two, Reiki master, and a member of the American Association of Geriatric Practitioners. I was a pioneer in owning and operating, I think, the first organic day spa in Breckenridge, Colorado. Today, I own bite-sized pieces where I work with men and women achieving their goals one step at a time. And this is where I specialize in toxins that can disrupt your digestive, metabolic, and endocrine health. This covers everyone with skin, belly fat, digestion, and hormonal imbalances. People can reach me at 501-681-3870. My email is faces@veil.net, and my website is bitesizedpieces.net.
Thank you, Connie. Forgot to mention that you're an awesome blogger, too. you've been contributing some great articles to our website, so if anyone's interested in reading her articles, please feel free to visit our website, lifecoachradionetworks.com. But thank you for joining us this evening, Connie.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the compliment.
No problem. Well, everyone, my name is Filomena Iorio-Tashuluk, and I'm the founder of Balanced Life Coaching. I help individuals and businesses learn how to manage stress by becoming the master of their emotions, because the most powerful and controllable human stressor is our mind. So whether someone is struggling with their weight, whether they want to improve company culture, or if they're interested in starting a business, I provide the tools and techniques to my clients to make powerful shifts so that each decision is made with clarity and confidence. I also facilitate group coaching and workshops. You can learn more about me by visiting my website, and that is www.bounce-life.com. Before we get started this evening with the discussion on resilience, I'd like to start off by giving our listeners the number to call in. So if you have any questions or comments, or even if you're interested in getting a little coaching during the show, please feel free to call in. The number is 646-716-9397. Again, that's area code 646-716-9397. Okay, so resilience and how it can help you achieve success. I am sure everybody knows somebody who has it all together. This person may have encountered many obstacles in their life, or maybe they strived for a goal that seemed unachievable, but they did it. They were able to do it. They were able to achieve that goal. They were able to overcome those obstacles. And then there's that other person that we all know that will basically crumble if anything doesn't go as planned. So what makes these two individuals so different? One is resilient and the other is not. This evening, we're going to talk about some of the characteristics or attributes of a resilient person and how you can become more resilient so that you can achieve more in life. Now, resiliency is the ability to basically recover or overcome the obstacles we face in life. It's the ability to recover from any obstacle, whether it's an illness, a tragedy, or a personal crisis. And as individuals, if we're unable to recover from life's hurdles, then we really can't grow or evolve into a competent and competent individual. So let's say you're listening to this show tonight and you can relate to the person who crumbles at the littlest inconvenience. You may be thinking, okay, well, how can I change now? It's too late in life. Is this possible? Well, it is possible, and you're going to learn how. So why don't we start by asking this question, how does resilience play an important role in achieving goals? Veronica, what are your thoughts on that?
My thoughts on that is that, you know, goal setting obviously has a certain type of skills that we all utilize or possess. And I feel confidence is definitely one of them. Focus and a sense of purpose comes into play. And those are just to name a few. Obviously, people are different and they bring other attributes to play all the time. But I feel like that is one of the common denominators, is that positive sense of confidence, the ability to focus, and they have a sense of purpose. They really do want. They really do understand the outcome that they want. And that really does resonate with resilience. It's some of those attributes are the ones that you need for resilience, which is the strong sense of confidence, being able to focus, and being positive plays a huge role in that. I think the difference between people who are resilient and those who struggle with it is that they tend to get stuck with the mishap, with the misfortune, or, oh, this happened to me, now what am I going to do? What are people thinking? Stuck in the negative aspect of what has happened to them, as opposed to people who really hone resilience. You know, they pretty much pick themselves up fairly quickly, and they say, well, you know, this isn't about me. This is just a certain circumstance. What can I do to change it? And their positivity switches on, and they're able to pick themselves up and actually think about it.
Exactly. That's a great point. Great point, Veronica. And the way I see it is a lot of times people will have these goals in life, whether they want to learn something or, you know, they're trying to make a career change, whatever that goal is. And they start off being really positive, and it gets a little bit hard, but they can still kind of go with it, go down that path. But there comes a point where the hurdle is just too great. And that's when a lot of people tend to just give up and they go back to their regular life because they find it so unattainable, so difficult, it's almost impossible. Whereas resilient people, like you said, they tend to be much more positive, they tend to be focused, they have a great support group. So they almost see things differently than anyone else. They create their own reality. And when I think about resilience, I think about us as children, okay? And we can all walk. We've all basically learned how to walk. As toddlers, when a toddler is learning how to walk, they're going to fall and they're going to cry, but they see that goal. They see all the big kids. They see the adults walking and they want that. They want to have a piece of that. So they get right back up and they fall again and then they get back up. If you think about it, a toddler learning how to walk, that is a huge obstacle. That's a big deal for them. So they're able to do it. They're able to overcome it. As adults, we tend to lose that that drive because we have that inner critic, or maybe we have outsiders that may be putting us down. So it's a way to really, as you said, to stay focused and to kind of just drive out all of that negativity so that you can focus on the goal and you can overcome those hurdles once they're there.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a great way of putting it. Excellent.
Yeah. I mean, another thing I'd like to talk about, too, is, like, the rubber band. So if you think about it, if you feel discouraged, okay, resiliency is like a rubber band. If you don't use that rubber band, I've had, like, tons of rubber bands where I haven't used them for years. They've been ignored, and they become hard and brittle. So if you try to expand that rubber band, it breaks immediately. But we've all had rubber bands that we're constantly using, and the elasticity increases, and it becomes much easier to use. So the same goes for resilience. If you flex that muscle, when you're faced with big hurdles, if you use resilience for the little hurdles, when you're faced with the big hurdles or you want to achieve, let's say, a big goal or what some may call an unattainable goal, that's when you can prove everyone wrong because that's when you have that positivity to move forward.
Mm-hmm. Right. Take a deep breath and visualize your success.
Yes. That's a great point, Connie, using visualization to really see that goal. I'm sorry, go on, Veronica.
I was just wanted to touch a little bit on what you said about resilience and children. I think that's something really important to address and for our listeners who have children, that conditioning really does have a lot to do on how we continue to use our resilience and those skills because we've all seen it, just like you said, in toddlers. You know, they have it in them. You know, essentially,
right.
We don't teach them to fall and for them to just get back up. They just continuously do it and do it. So it's already ingrained in them. So as adults or parents, what can we do to continue to encourage that resilience and be mindful of the way that we're molding and conditioning our children? Because it's true, the older we get, you know, some of us continue to practice that resilience, that, you know, the rubber band effect. But there's something that happens between, you know, really small toddlers and babies to young adulthood or even adolescence. There's a break there. So just being mindful of to continue to help our children utilize those skills and how can we do that for them?
Right.
Great point.
That's
a very excellent point. Excellent point, to nourish the children, to nourish their behaviors, to encourage their positive behaviors, to encourage positive, you know, foods, to encourage just nourishment all the time to children, and to try to really be mindful when we are with our kids, even if we're busy, to pay attention, to be aware of what they really want from us.
Right, because then we can help guide them. And we can help them guide them into becoming the great person they truly are meant to be. Connie, what about mindfulness and resilience? What do they have in common?
I think they have in common awareness, being in tune with your life, paying attention. It all revolves around, I think, awareness. If you were dealing with depression, for instance, depression, I don't think, is a result of what's happening in your life. I think it's sometimes in your head where you're thinking sometimes too much. I call it, just you're in your head too much and you forget to see your thoughts as thoughts instead of being your thoughts. You can be happy even if you have unhappy thoughts. So these voices in your head sometimes need to be put aside, and you need to be in tune with where you want to go and your goals. You cannot always control what's happening in your life. You can't always control what somebody does in your life, but you can improve on the relationship with what's happening. So how we relate instead of react, and then we're more clear about our choices. I think that's a good example. Also, if you're a type A, instead of rigid, you can say, okay, I'm becoming flexible. Instead of impatient, I'm becoming focused and aware. And all this also has to do with mindful eating. So if you're you're focused on what you put in your body, then you can also be more mindful in your everyday life.
That's true. Veronica, do you have any thoughts on mindfulness and resilience?
Yeah, I think Connie really described it very, very well. Awareness is definitely key. And she also touched about being intuitive, and I think those two together, obviously when you're aware when you're expressing mindfulness, and it also plays a role when you have to be in that resilient mode. But your intuition really comes into play because some way, somehow, and this is what's difficult about the resilience and when we show up for it is because it's something that it's very hard to explain. And like Connie said, it's getting out of your head that's really going to get you through it, because the mind is really what plays tricks on us, and I think we've all experienced that. And the more that we're able to get out of our head, and intuitively we know that there's something better, something greater, and that things will turn around. And that's part of the mindfulness practice, is that although we may not have the answers yet or now, they will come to us. And that usually happens when we're outside of our heads. And the practice that I love to utilize with my clients is the three center check-in, and it really does incorporate all three centers, is to be mindful of what experience you're having in your head and what emotions you're having in your heart, and how is it manifesting in your third center, which is your body. And usually the right answers, not usually, every single time, the answers come from the heart center. And if you lead with that first and then holistically incorporate the other two, you will find that you have all the pieces necessary to move forward in whatever endeavor you're actually experiencing.
That's true, because it's basically you're aligning your inner values with your outer goals. So
right,
in tune with what you truly want, you're not dependent on other people's approval, or you're not influenced by other people, because you know inside of you what it is that you truly want. You know what your goal is. So that will help you focus. That will give you the confidence. That will give you the drive to move forward when things do get tough.
Right.
Exactly. And you're tuning into what you really want.
Thank you, Connie. So when I heard, I think it was Connie, you were talking about a different perspective. And when I had first heard about mindfulness, I have a degree in photography. It actually reminded me of photography. And I'm very passionate about it for many reasons, but basically, I can stare at a photograph for the longest time and still return to it day after day and view that image from a different perspective. So when I photograph, it allows me to view a moment in time from a different angle. Being behind my camera, it allows me to remove myself from the situation and gives me the opportunity to take a slice out of whatever that moment in time is and see it from a different perspective. So that's what I think of mindfulness. And I believe both of you had touched upon self-awareness. So if you look at photography, if you think about photography in that way and you're practicing mindfulness, think about your eyes as the camera lens, and then your eyes and all of your other senses, the taste, touch, smell, hearing, everything, all of your senses. These senses are your equipment to see things from a different perspective. So if we're practicing mindfulness, we're aware, we're in the moment, we're able to remove ourselves and not necessarily think like a victim or make it all about me. Does that make sense?
Yes.
We can see things differently, and that will help us give us the clarity. It will also help us make better decisions, more decisions with confidence, and again, that would lead to achieving goals.
Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right. And let me just throw in another one. If you're on your way to work and you want to, you know, taste, touch, smell, sound, everything affects how we're being mindful. And if you're listening to, I call it a crappy radio station. Can we say that on radio?
Yeah, sure.
When we're in the car. We're in the car, you know, and that interferes with us being mindful. We forget about that too. So, you know, sounds and things that we do that are mindless sometimes interferes with mindfulness.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's a great point. Thank you for bringing that up. So how about self-care habits? How does that mean anything to resilient people? Connie, why don't we start with you?
Well, I definitely think these people have a mental list of good habits that support them in when they need it the most. I know Steve Jobs has it. I know my husband has it. They seem to have a very strong constitution about them. They let stuff roll off their backs. I also have a girlfriend like that. At the end of her day, she spends quality time, I know this for a fact, either meditating or reading, and she doesn't just spend 5 minutes. I mean, she gives herself a couple of hours, even if she has a busy day and she's an executive. So actually, if you don't have these habits in place, these can be taught, and I do teach my clients that you can put these habits in place. As we sometimes forget to fill up our cup, we train ourselves to ask which part of our story is permanent and which can we possibly change? Can we change that drama queen that happened today? I know some women are drama queens. Or can we change the woman that's frantic about eating a real fast meal? Because frantic is the opposite of resilient. So I find if we implement some self-care habits like reading or running or taking a bath or getting a massage, exercising, juicing, it's important to include a moment of mindfulness in everything in order to be resilient. So, yes, you have to have both. You have to have self-care habits, mindfulness, and resilience to have the true package. I guess that's what
right.
I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. When, as you were saying that, I was thinking about my self-care habits, and mine in particular, and I exercise on a regular basis, and I do it for two reasons. One, it's to relieve stress. It's a great stress reliever. Also, a lot of times when I'm on the treadmill, that's when I have my aha moments. And also, it's a way for me to honor myself. So it's putting myself before everyone else. It's saying, okay, you're important enough that it's important for you to take care of yourself and to stay a certain way and to think of yourself as basically a queen, you know? And the reason why I say that is because when we are practicing that resilience, and when we do end up hitting an obstacle and we're trying to get over that hurdle, if we don't have that confidence, if we don't think of ourselves as important people, if we don't honor ourselves, that's when we tend to give up. But if we think we're worth it, we'll follow through with it.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Veronica, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, what comes up for me in regards to your question is recently, not too long ago, you and I, Philomena, had a show on morning rituals.
Right.
Those are to have a ritual, and it doesn't necessarily have to be something in the morning. It really all depends on what works for you. And we did talk about the sense of awareness as well, that not every ritual, you know, works for everybody. So part of it is taking the time and putting yourself first, like you said, to figure out what those rituals could be. It could be a visualization exercise in the morning. It could be a gratitude journal. It could be working out. You know, whatever it may be for you, find that whatever that releases energy or actually gives you energy to keep you going through your day. And it also brings up another show that Connie and I will be doing on February 11th, which is Being versus Doing. And if we can change our our thoughts or the way we think about ourselves and being more than just the things that we do on a daily basis, but instead switching that to who we want to be on a daily basis, and really marry that, again, with your heart center, and really think about those values, those core values that really speak to you, and live your life and your day by that. And that will energize you more than anything that you can possibly imagine. And I think that's really, really important. And obviously, these people who have these good habits in place also have a great support system. They have family members that they can rely on. They have a trainer that they may potentially go to. They have a nutritionist that they work with. And so find a tribe, and I call it your tribe of people who can support you continuously for you to live a life that is obviously purposeful for you.
Definitely. That's a very good point. Find your support
group. It is. Yeah, because when you have that support group, it's much easier to implement those self-care habits and stick to them. You're not going to feel overwhelmed. You're not going to have that sense of overwhelmment than if you were doing it all alone.
And all three of us have our niche in supporting our clients.
Mm-hmm.
Right, right. Can you guys think of any examples of successful people, successful leaders that are well-known, or even everyday people that have been able to overcome obstacles and achieve greatness, achieve their goals because of resilience?
Nelson Mandela. Mm.
Nelson,
right?
Okay. Right. That's a great example. That's a great – can you, Connie, do you mind – telling us how he was able to use the resilience?
Well, look at how he wasn't angry. He wasn't using emotions to handle everyday mundane things that he had to do while he was in prison. He used, I would say, his intelligence, his emotional intelligence, instead of letting his emotions be the better part of him. He used it in a very positive way. The guards in the prison, you know, ended up being his friends. He wasn't angry when he was released. He helped people. I would say he inspired people to just be like him, just to attain peace and serenity. So, just a wonderful being.
That's awesome. He's a great example. I actually, I was thinking of Mark Cuban, and I know I've shared this story with you, Veronica. Mark Cuban, if you guys don't know him, he's on Shark Tank now, and he's also the owner of the Dallas Mavericks. And I had read his book. It's a great book. It's a short read, but it's a very powerful book. The title is How to Win at the Sport of Business. So in the beginning of the book, he talks about one of his early business ventures. He owned a company called Microsolutions, and he had been in business for about 2 years and had accumulated $85,000, which was in the bank. He had working for him a secretary that had been there since the very beginning of the company. And he trusted her with pretty much everything, including the company's financial information. Well, one day, over the course of a couple of days, the secretary ended up withdrawing over $83,000. So when Mark Cuban went to the bank, you know, he had less than $2,000 in there. And he was angry. People were encouraging him to search for her, you know, put her in jail, sue her, everything. But instead, what he did was he just went back to work. And he writes in his book that, and I'm basically going to read it from the book because I just felt like he put it so well. But basically he said, worrying about revenge, getting pissed at the bank, and all those I'm going to get even and kick your ass thoughts were basically just a waste of energy. No one was going to cover my obligations for me. I had to get myself back to work and do so quickly, and that's exactly what I did. As far as the secretary is concerned, I haven't seen her since. I haven't talked to anyone who has seen or heard about her. I don't know if she is dead or alive at this point. she is just a footnote. And I thought that was a great way to end the story. She's just a footnote. And that shows true resilience. I mean, this is a guy that basically his bank account was depleted. And someone who wasn't as resilient would have used revenge and anger and wasted all of this time to get back at this woman. Or, you know, they would have been like, okay, we got to close shop. We can't make it anymore. But she just became a footnote. He moved on. And I wouldn't be surprised if that actually made him even more motivated to become successful. But to him, that money was just money. That's all it was. It wasn't going to break him. It wasn't going to change anything about him. He was still able to follow through with the business, and he didn't let that anger hold him back from achieving his goals.
Right. You can let anger control you, or you can control your anger. And, you know, sometimes anger gets us where we want to be, and sometimes it just puts us in the grave. So, yeah, that's a very good example, what you just said, definitely about anger.
Right, right, because a lot of times it's the anger, it's the resentment. It's like when you have that brewing inside of you, and then people are telling you about how horrible something is and so on. That almost paralyzes you from moving forward. And that is really the key in becoming resilient, is to be able to overcome that inner critic, those negative voices inside our head. And even if people are telling you negative things, but just tune them out so that you can focus on the real goals. Veronica, do you have any examples of people that have been able to overcome obstacles because they were resilient?
Yeah, absolutely, I do. And, you know, what's interesting is that, you know, even in both of your stories or the two examples that you have, you know, all of them have used their misfortune to their advantage. And, you know, that's what I love about people who know how to use their resilience, is because they know how to use their energy, and they know on what not to use their energy for, and they understand it. Therefore, they could either go in the negative direction, which will deplete them eventually, or they can use that, you know, mishap or that misfortune to turn things around for themselves. And I really admire that. And, you know, one of the people that I admire a lot in my life is my father-in-law. You know, my father-in-law started his company over 30 years ago, and the company actually started even before that, his father. So my husband's grandfather started this company, who began as a candy store out of a garage. And now 30 plus years later, you know, my father-in-law has been making this company grow and grow and grow. And obviously in business, things don't always go as planned. You know, 15, 20 years ago, I believe they went bankrupt, and he used all of that to start all over again. And he never gave up. And he learned every time what he needed to do differently, better, use the mishap for his fortune and to make things work better in the long run. And not too long ago, it almost happened again, where maybe half of their business left, and he found himself in a predicament again where he had to almost start all over again. And he, not once did he ever flinch and said, you know, I give up. You know, he really picked up himself, and he knew that he had to do something differently and to continue on to his dreams and continue to just work hard. And not once did he falter. He just went ahead and did what he knew needed to happen. And I admire that about those people, because no matter what is going on or what circumstances puts roadblocks in front of them, they're able to say, no, I'm not going to fall into that. I'm not going to go ahead and listen to other people who are discouraging me. I'm just going to keep moving forward. And it takes a certain amount of purpose. He has a huge sense of purpose. He knows what he wants. He knows what his overall goal is. And his core values are very well in tune with what he does on a daily basis. And that is really what energizes him. And at the end of the day, you know, that's why all these people have been successful. and they continue to be.
That's a great example, Veronica. And I love that example because it shows a lot of times when people see successful leaders or, you know, people that basically have it all together, if they don't know them very well, they may use excuses like, oh, it was just pure luck, or he had connections, or he had money, or whatever it may be. But you don't know the full story. Do you know what I mean? Like when you were just describing your father-in-law, it's like, okay, well, he found himself in a couple predicaments, but he was always able to get through it.
Right.
So I love that example. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's a great point that you bring up as well, is that, you know, from the outside looking in, just like you said, it's easy to judge and say, oh, this person has it easy, or things just happen for that person, and you tend to see what they drive or where they live and what they wear, and it's all external. But you really don't get to see sometimes the hardship and the struggle that a lot of people really have to go through to achieve the things that they have. And it's not that things have been easier handed to them. It's that grit that they have within themselves that keeps them going every single day.
Exactly. Well, let's take a brief moment to remind our listeners the number to call in with any comments, questions, or concerns. If you would like to call in, the number is area code 646-716-9397. Also, I'd like to take a few minutes just to talk about upcoming shows on all three networks. Tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Life Coach Chat Channel, listen to Believe with Life Coach Angelique Joseph. February 14th is a day that we tell those closest to us how much we appreciate them and adore them. But what about the other 364 days? And it's about them. What about you? How often do you show yourself the love, adoration, and appreciation that you deserve? So tune in tonight at 9 p.m. on Life Coach Chat Channel, and Angelique Joseph will tell you how. Then tomorrow at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Life Coach Radio Network, listen to New You City Chat, Fall in Love with Yourself with Danielle McCurrier. If you've ever spent time with Danielle McCurrier, you've probably heard her say the following: self-love isn't selfish, but a necessary part of our survival, and it's true. Danielle is going to be joined by Lindsay Lawnon as they discuss how you can literally fall in love with yourself in just a few simple steps. They'll also be promoting their Fall in Love with Yourself Pinterest contest, where you'll be eligible for a chance to win a coaching session with either coach. Last, on Wednesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on International Life Coach Radio, listen to Exceeding Awesome with Lynn Brunet and guest Sherry Mulchin. If you're in a financial rut, this show will help you get out of the stress and worry and see what's possible. So Sherry Mulchin is an author, speaker, money coach, and financial advisor. Her Money Momentum workshops and seminars have come out of her own history of struggle and the hundreds of men and women she has seen in her over 16 years in the financial services. She empowers women and men to know that the only difference between where they are now and where they can be is belief, pure and simple. Sherry demystifies complex money concepts and offers simple tools that help her clients and audience alike lead their best life and serve the world. So one last thing, I'm going to be playing a promo for this weekend's Life Coach Radio Network workshop weekend. Listen in.
Hi, everyone. This is Russ Terry, the founder, executive producer, and host here on the Life Coach Radio Network. We're having a huge event in New York City that I want to tell you about. It's our first ever workshop weekend. 15 of us will be giving a variety of self-empowerment workshops on Saturday, February 8th and Sunday, February 9th in the heart of the Big Apple. We'll have seminars on stress, spirituality, success, divorce, living your best life, and a lot more. If you're interested, go to lifecoachradionetworks.com/newyearnewyou2014. That's lifecoachradionetworks.com. radionetworks.com/newyearnewyou2014. We'd love to see you there. And now, back to today's show.
That was great. Russ came on our show. Okay, so getting back to tonight's topic, which is on resilience and how we can use resilience to achieve sustainable success. So what other kind of distractions can really get in the way of our intentions? We've talked about, obviously, we're going to hit obstacles and that inner critic. Do you guys know of any other distractions that can really get in the way and stop us from reaching that goal?
I would say that.
Oh, Connie, yes.
Do you want me to go?
Yes, please.
I'm sorry. I would say some examples are things that get in the way are junk foods, gossip, drugs, overeating, drama, TV. All these things that we don't even think about can get in the way and be distractions for our positive intentions and our resilience. And you don't even know how much they do get in the way until you stop doing them. Stop watching TV, for instance. Not a lot of people can do that. But these interferences do not add to mindfulness or success. You could put it in another way about junk food. If you're a mom arriving home from a busy day trying to make dinner and you're all stressed out and you're annoyed and you're just throwing something together, think about it for a minute. Take a thought in your head and think about making dinner in love instead of with love instead of annoyance. Avoid the anger that could develop from not having enough time in your day. Sure, things don't ever go as planned when you're always in a rush. But if we don't allow silence and we don't allow, you know, meditation in our lives or mindfulness, things, events, problems can get all distorted and be distractions. If we're trying too hard to figure things out, that could block energy and answers from coming through. So I say, you know, we can train ourselves to ask which part of our current story is true. Is it something that we can change? Is it something that we can stop ourselves from doing in the moment that we're doing it and change right away? Or is it something that needs to be learned and put more motion into our action? And I would say making life changes can all be done to be resilient. And anything that gets in your way, you're allowing it to get in your way. And that's all it is.
Thank you. That was wonderful. And you listed a lot of things like television. And it's interesting that you were bringing up television, food, and everything because it reminded me of, I was watching, I don't even know what show it was, but basically Maya Angelou was being interviewed. And she talks about poison, how, you know, poison can get into you, but it spreads so quickly. And so
right.
that will take away your resilience, you know, what you watch, what food you put into your body, even where you live, who you hang out with, the people that you're with. Are your friends people that are constantly negative and always giving up on things? That plays an important role in your decision-making process. So it's people, places, things, all of them are major influences. So when we're able to take away that poison, it helps us become aware of what our inner values are. And once we're able to align those inner values with the goals, if we do reach those hurdles or those obstacles, we can really plow through them.
Definitely. You said it really well.
Thank you. Veronica, any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think two different things come up. When you ask the question of distractions and intention, and You know, those, I think those are two totally separate things, in the sense that, you know, if we think of just distractions, my God, everything is a distraction. And, right. You know, TV and, like, you know, how Connie said, food and drugs and all kinds of things that we're just bombarded with all the time, constantly. I think what I would encourage our listeners to really consider is, even before you think of what distractions are out there, because there's so many, it could obviously turn someone off because it's so overwhelming. What I would say to someone is, really hone in on what your intentions really are. What does that mean for you? And how can it help you cultivate a more purposeful and enriched life? And it's going to be different for everybody, and it's going to take time for you to figure that out. And ways to do that is, again, become more self-aware and be able to find a moment of stillness, because that is really when we have the opportunity for things that really matter to us and the things that we really genuinely love and energizes, that's when those things come up for us. When we have a sense of stillness, or we're actually engaging in something that we really love. And then start thinking about the things that you can extract from your life. And that was my personal experience. I can speak on that at a personal level, because that's exactly what I did. I had to really figure out what my true intentions were and how I wanted to be in the world. Not what I wanted to do, but what and who I wanted to be, and what legacy did I want to leave behind. And then I started working backwards in the sense, okay, you know, too much TV is bad for me. Certain foods are bad for me. No activity is bad for me. And I started to shift that for myself and doing the things that really did work for me and doing less of the things that didn't. And obviously your negative talk is going to come through the change. There's going to be struggle as you make that transition. So just be mindful of that and, you know, really try to eliminate those gremlins, the inner talk, the assumptions, the interpretations that might get in the way. But start where things that energize you. Like, what is your intention in the world? And work from there.
That's actually a great way. Now that we're getting closer to the end of the show, I'm glad that you brought that up, because asking yourself that question and incorporating that into your daily routine, it's a great tip to really quiet your mind and figure out what it is that you truly want in life and setting that intention. And as you said, that will allow you to work backwards and really start to see who it is that you're hanging out with, or what it is, what kind of food you're putting in your mouth, what you're watching on TV, that will all fall into place. You'll be able to make better decisions.
And also not feel like you're giving things up. Feel like you're making positive changes in your life. So in other words, you're not making yourself feel deprived. You're actually choosing what you want to do and choosing what you want to eat, and you're making these positive changes instead of feeling deprived. Feel happy and getting your desired, you know, results, your desired weight, your desired, you know, finishing your project. Sometimes I describe it as resilience for a thirst of life, making life changes like Steve Jobs did with his life. Or we can always be thirsty, trying to, you know, do the next best whatever is out there, you know, the next latest diet or the next latest craze, and we're not really getting results from that.
What did you call it, Connie? Resilience for a thirst of life?
I describe it as resilience for a thirst of life. You're thirsty. You want to make things happen and make life changes. Like Steve Jobs always had a vision, or we can just
right.
be thirsty. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I wrote that down. That was a great way of putting it. So what other things can we incorporate into our daily routine that will help build that resilience? I know for myself, and also when I'm coaching clients, I always tell them to start with the little things, you know, a small obstacle, And it's kind of like, again, like you're flexing that muscle and you're trying to add that elasticity so that when the bigger hurdles are there, it's easier for you to really overcome them. So start with the little obstacles and see how far you can go along with that.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, Philomena, and that's something that I utilize that with my clients a lot. You know, start small. A lot of people, when they make a decision that they want to change something, they go full force too quickly, and, you know, we all know how that works out. You get fatigued, you hurt yourself, you know, didn't eat enough. All these things happen where, obviously, you know, breaks that, you know, that want to continue to do something. So definitely start small. If you want to change your life in a positive direction, in whichever way that you want to do that, if you feel like your negative talk is something that you struggle with a lot, you know, a gratitude journal is a great way to start that. And you don't have to write a long period of time. Just write. And it doesn't have to be perfect. Just, you know, be positive. Everything that you write, let it be positive. Even if it's as small as, oh, the sun came out today and you haven't seen the sun in 3 days. Start small. You know, if it's, you know, working out, something that you really want to start doing because you know you feel better after you do it, you know, begin by stretching each morning. And just little things like that. If you want to meditate, don't feel the necessity to meditate 30 minutes to an hour like a lot of people, you know, try to get new beginners to do, because it's impossible. I meditate, and in the beginning, I couldn't fathom sitting for 5 minutes, let alone an hour a day. And that's me from meditating for years. So if meditation is something that you really, really want to get into, start with your breathing each morning and just concentrating your breathing. And that could take 30 seconds to a minute a day. So don't feel obligated that you have to do something a certain way or how someone else described it to you. Continue to look for something that works for you and try it in increments feel right.
And one great way to stay positive too, you brought up the example of meditation, but really you can use this for anything, is even if you make that attempt, like let's say you wake up one morning and you get out of bed and you're sitting in the positions where you're going to meditate, that's a win. So congratulate yourself for even doing that. Any little step that you take is a small win. And
exactly.
When you see life that way, it's going to give you that motivation to take those bigger steps. So one morning, it may just be you getting out of bed to meditate. But then the next morning, you might be able to meditate for like 30 seconds. It's still a win.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And also you change it in your mind first, that small step that you're talking about. Change it in your mind first. Replay your success tape. Hear, see, feel it, taste it. Hear your boss say you have a raise or you've got the gig or the music assignment or you know, success where you wanted your success to be. Feel it and have your emotions attached to it first before it even happens.
That's a great point, Connie. That's a great tip, to feel it. Because once we start to feel it, then we believe it. And once we believe it, then we see it.
Mm-hmm.
So it looks like our time is up. What I'd like to do is give everyone the opportunity to give some final closing thoughts on the topic. And also, if you're going to be on air again this month and you'd like to share that with everyone, please feel free to do so, and also how people can get in touch with you. Why don't we start with you, Connie?
Oh, okay. Well, I agree with what you said. You had an extra statement. Any bite-sized step is a small win. And if you don't have self-care system in place, it's really time to start now. We as health coaches all agree on that. And And I just want to stick in something. I believe all life is energy. So feeding your body positively. Learn how to use your energy and never give up. Do you intend to lose weight, eat healthy, feel fantastic, be resilient, make a plan and stick to it. Be get the support you need and be committed to the outcome. As a certified health coach, I'm all about putting a plan into place and showing you the, you know, how to do it and the commitment to follow through. I support my clients on their way to true health, and I want you to just plan on tuning into success at bitesizedpieces.net. You can reach me also at facesatveil.net. My Facebook is facebook.com, Revisage Wellness Spa.
Thank you, Connie. Veronica, how about you? Any closing thoughts on how can people get in touch with you?
Absolutely. I think what I would love our listeners to know and remember is that resilience is within us. It is innately engraved in every single one of us, and it's what we do as we grow up and we go through life where we continue to cultivate those skills or we forget about them. And if you are one of those who feel like you're not resilient, just remember that it's already in you. And to never forget that, it's just a matter of you going out there and rediscovering that skill that you already have. And if you would love to get in contact with me, again, you can do that at lifeleaders.com. My direct line is 415-967-1606. And if you're interested in cultivating or trying to improve your leadership skills, with it, whether it's in your personal or professional life, I would love to help you with that. Resilience is definitely one of the key components that I work with my clients. And Flamina and I will actually be speaking on this topic on February 9th, 10 a.m. in New York City, which I'm very excited for. And we look forward to all of those who will be there. And thank you for having me.
Thank you for having me also. Thank you, Connie. I have a similar closing thought as Connie and Veronica, and that is, it's resilience is basically like flexing a muscle. We all have it when we're toddlers. That's how we learned how to walk. It's because we were resilient. And as I said earlier in the show, that was a big obstacle for us. Unfortunately, because we don't put that into practice, we tend to forget that we are resilient. But if we start to look at the small obstacles in our life, and if we start to use resilience to overcome those small obstacles, the bigger obstacles that we will have, because everyone is going to have obstacles in their life, we'll able to overcome much more easily. So it's just like flexing a muscle. Start practicing with the little obstacles, and you'll be able to overcome the bigger hurdles in life. As Veronica said, she and I are both going to be running a workshop this weekend in New York City. Is the New Year, New You Life Coach Radio Network's weekend workshop, and it's going to be on resilience on February 9th. That's on a Sunday. I'm also going to be running a stress eating workshop on February 8th. And if you'd like to learn more about me and my coaching practice, please feel free to visit my website at www.bounce-life.com. Again, let me just promote these last shows. Tonight at 9 p.m., Life Coach Chat Channel, Listen to Believe with Life Coach Angelique Joseph. Then tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Life Coach Radio Network, Listen to New You, New City Chat, Fall in Love with Yourself with Danielle McCurrier. She's going to have Lindsay Lawnen as her guest. And then on Wednesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on International Life Coach Radio, listen to Exceeding Awesome with Lynn Brene and guest Sherry Mulchin, who is an author, speaker, money coach, and financial advisor. Again, thank you, everyone, for listening in tonight. If you have any questions, please feel free to contact us through lifecoachradionetworks.com. Thank you, and have a wonderful evening. Goodbye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.